meeting to order today with Board of Adjustment. We'd like to start off with a Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Thank you. I'm Jay Carlson, standing in for Chair today. Today we've got just five members here, so everybody will be a voting member. Do we have updates for staff today? No? Great. I think we need to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Does anyone have any comments? The minutes? Could get a motion to approve those?
Motion to approve.
Second?
I second that.
And those are approved. We've got one item of business before we get into the issue of the day, and to do with the Sunshine Law.
Wayne Intermill here. I'd like to make a motion that the Board of Adjustments comply with the Open Meetings Law in the following manner. During 2018, in compliance with the Open Meetings Law, CRS SS24-6-401, the Board of Adjustments will post its meeting agendas in the lobby and or on the outside notice board of the Centennial Hall, 200 South Cascade Avenue, Carroll Springs, Colorado. The meetings will be held in the hearing room on the second floor of Pikes Peak Regional Development Center, 2880 International Circle, Carroll Springs, Colorado, or other designated location as may be required on the second Wednesday of the month beginning at 9 a.m. or on as needed basis. The Planning and Community Development Department, as recording secretary to the Board of Adjustment, is appointed to be the custodian of the official minutes records of the Board of Adjustments meetings. The audio recording is hereby designated as the official recording of the meetings. The audio recording of the executive session is hereby ordered except for attorney-client privilege communication. The official newspaper for publication of required notices shall be in the same newspapers that are used by the Board of County Commissioners of El Paso County.
Second.
Did we get a motion to? Yeah, great. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And that motion carries as approved. All right. We've got a request on by Dale Parker on behalf of Carol Hibbert for approval of dimensional variance to allow a setback of 67 feet where 100 feet is required. Staff, you want to tell us about it?
Good morning, Board. Gabe Savigny, Planning Community Development. This is the Jackson Creek Kennel, BOA 17-005, a side yard setback for a kennel. This is a review criteria. I'll turn it over to the county attorney to read that for you.
Good morning, board members. So the review criteria that are on the slide in front of you are not all of the review criteria, but they are the ones that staff feels are most applicable to this particular request. And so in order to approve this by a majority vote of at least four members, you would need to find that the burdens of strict compliance with the physical requirements of the code significantly exceeds the benefits of requiring that compliance. You must also find that the variance, and you must find one of the following three circumstances. Either that the variance provides only reasonably brief temporary relief, or that the variance includes an alternative plan that substantially and satisfactorily mitigate the anticipated impacts of the variance, or that some other unique or equitable consideration compels that strict compliance not be required.
So this property is located at 19407 Elliott View in Payton, Colorado. By the map, you can see the X is the actual location of this particular property. Most of the Adjacent property is either RR5 or A35, A35 to the south and RR5 being directly to the north. Some little bit of the background of this project. The kennel has been in operation since 2012. Their state permits were secured, but there was no county zoning verification at that time. Just to let you know a little bit about that one as well. And towards the end of last year, the Planning and Community Development Department had several of these that came up. We don't know if there was maybe a shift in the State Department that they started catching a lot of these state permits that were going out. So the kennels that have been in existence, some of them for even 15, 20 years, all of a sudden they were having to go through our process. And through that, we were doing them the actual special use as a kennel as an administrative process through the department, because it wasn't a neighbor complaint. There was no issues with it. It was a state recommendation for the zoning verification. So upon that is when we received the application from Mr. Parker on October 13th. And that's whenever the site plan was indicated at a 67-foot setback from the side yard when 100-foot is required from any property line. As you can see, I don't know if you can make out on that picture, but this right here will be the actual side yard in question. And most of these properties out in this area, they're rather large acreage, so he included a number to the actual closest house, which is about 450 yards to the actual structure. Again, our code goes to property lines, not another structure. So again, here's the aerial. This right here is the question, the kennel in question. And as you can tell, that right now this property is vacant, with the house all the way, the closest one clear over here. The kennel, again, so it's table 5.4, footnote number 6. Kennels, pens, and fur farms shall be set back a minimum of 100 feet from all property lines. There is no other, the only one that increases is if you go to A35, then it does go to 200 feet, but there's nothing less in our land development code. So the request is for this side yard setback only. Previous discussion with Mr. Parker is that they did add a privacy fence on that side to keep the visual aspects of it from impacting those type of aspects. There are not any engineering advanced requirements or anything on this one. The special use permit, as stated, is going through the administrative process. In your staff report, you'll notice that's one of the conditions, as he has to secure that within 90 days. It's already at that level for the director approval, pending your guys' decision today for the setback. So the alternatives that were discussed is moving the structure to a new location, meeting required setbacks, the build a new structure, kennel, and repurpose the existing structure for use allowed within the zoning district, or discontinue all operations as a kennel. The structure itself, as an accessory structure, the setbacks are 25 feet. So if any of those, they're definitely within it. It's this use as a kennel that is causing the side yard variance. So here are the conditions again. The approval applies only to the plans that submitted. Any expansion or additions to the garage may require separate board of adjustment application or approvals. That should be a structure. A building permit must be secured through Pikes Peak. Through the history research on it, I was not able to find through Pikes Peak or through our department as far as the structure itself. Several buildings, for whatever reason, they don't. So that's a condition, is that to secure those, to make sure that it's got all of its inspections and a CFO for it. A commercial well permit shall be obtained within 120 days of approval date from the Board of Adjustment. Mr. Parker did inform me that he contacted the state. They did want him to get a commercial permit, and so that's going to take time for him, so the condition is in there. Also, the note about that the Planning and Community Development Director can extend that based on good intent. If he's got the application in and it's at the state level, and he's waiting on them to make sure that at least there's good faith effort on that. And then the last one, again, approval of the special use to legalize the kennel within 90 days. Again, that's ready to go to the director based on your guys' approval. So the neighbor notification, there was 6 notified. I know that there's a lot more X's on there, but some of the other neighbors, they're the same property owner that owns more than one. So I just wanted to clarify that these two are the same, and these two right here are the same. So that's why you're going to see 6 on there. And it was also posted on December 11th, 2017. Do you have any questions for myself?
Any questions? I've got a question about the kennel yard. Is there any issues with that, about where that is pertaining to the setback? Is the same setback go with those, or does it matter?
Right. Anything that has to do with the kennel, so it's either a dog run, any part that would fall under that kennel is supposed to be at that 100-foot setback from any property line. And so the barn itself was converted over whenever they first started the process of it, and that's where they left the barn at.
So I've got two questions. The fence that you said was put up, when was that put up?
That was put up after a conversation when Dell was first notified by code enforcement about the issue from the state about not being zoned correctly, or not having a zoning verification. And so whenever he and I met the very first time, he had discussed putting up the privacy fence to help with that, that aspect of it.
Do we have pictures of that at all?
I do not. I don't know.
We'll wait to see the applicant.
Any other questions? Ms. Davies.
Did the West property owner make any comment or indicate plans of building anything on that property line that would be relevant?
For either application, I received zero feedback.
Thank you.
From neighbors.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to introduce Mr. Parker, and he can come up and do his.
Great. Come on up, and please sign in over here, if you would.
Hi.
Go ahead. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dale Parker, and I'm representing my fiance, Carol Hibbert. I guess a quick little review. We bought the property about 8 years ago and started specifically to start a kennel. We were told that all permits were approved, and literally the property had unlimited commercial potential. So we put a kennel together. We've spent probably $20,000 in improvements of the building, or plus. I know that I refinished just the concrete floors, and that was $8,000 alone. The building cannot be moved. It's a 60 by 40. Originally, the guy was in the trucking business, and he built a very tall building. I think it has a 16-foot ceiling so that he could get his semi-trucks in it. And then he didn't realize it was ever going to be a kennel via the 100-foot setback. It was an easy kind of the word would be reconstruct or turn into a kennel. That was fairly easy. I can do about 15 dogs. I don't want to be a big kennel, the 40-dog guy. You just don't have time to do anything else. We do training of bird dogs. That's kind of our specialty. And we've developed and working on developing a special, very versatile hunting dog that can do geese, duck, chucker, quail, pheasant, everything. And we're perfecting that. We've got a small but loyal following of boarders, and our puppy list is about at 30. We do two litters a year. The popularity of this breed is been phenomenal. We really kind of got in on it at the right time.
What is the breed, just so out of curiosity?
It's called the Poodle Pointer. It's a real breed. It's not like a Labradoodle or something, but they reproduce themselves, and they've been around 100 years. But they were strictly European, in Germany and Austria. The guy took a standard poodle and an English pointer and put them together, trying to get the most versatile dog that you could live with and would hunt well and hunt a lot of different game. And that's kind of, we've had good success with that. Really good success.
Great.
Any questions, I guess?
Anyone have any questions?
Can you tell us a little bit more about the fence that you put up?
That's Mr. Hannigan.
The 60 by 40 building, I put a 60 by 40 yard for the dogs to get in. It has a concrete footer so they can't dig under it. It's just a chain link fence, and then I have put in a fabric privacy fence. It's an opaque fabric that is attached to the chain link, and it's done a very good job.
Okay, thank you.
My neighbor rides the horses by the property, and the dogs would just light it up every time a horse would go by. So I put this fence up, and it has reduced it by 80%, I bet, if not more than that.
This is Mr. Carlson. Did you put the fence up around the dog run or on a fence on the property line?
It's on the dog run.
Okay, so there's no fence on the property line.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions?
Yes, I do. Mr. Intermill here. Have you checked with RBD to see the Regional Building Department to see if a building permit is needed for that building?
No.
For the structure itself?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I noticed on your presentation it said that it was needed, and I'm not sure if it is or not. You might want to check with them, because I don't know if that was accurate.
Yeah, that was what the conditions on there. There should be a building permit for it based on the special use and now his site development plan. The site, if approved, that would be there, but the actual building permit through Pikes Peak, we would still have that condition to make sure that it has all the correct inspections, that it's legal building, safe, and it's got its certificate of occupancy for it.
Okay.
Great.
If there isn't a permit, what would be the remedy for that?
Well, you'd have to go there, and they'd bring an inspector out there, and they would inspect the structure itself. Typically, this could be a different situation. Typically, if it's an agricultural building or a farm building, they don't require a permit, but I could be mistaken on this.
I don't. The ag structure, a lot of those, they can't have any kind of utilities ran to them, for one, so that one. And then the special use as a kennel would actually require, because
gotcha,
it would be commercial in nature. But.
Thank you.
Mr. Intermill, Craig Doss with Plan Community Development. Typically, regional building, if the structure has the potential of hosting the public, in this case, somebody might be going to pick up their dog, they will require that it be permitted.
Okay. Good.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Pretty good. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone here in support of this issue? Doesn't appear to be. Anyone here against? All right. No one here against. Great. Do I have a motion or any further discussion? Anybody want to discuss anything? Go ahead. Mr. Hannigan.
Jerry Hannigan, yeah. My only comment goes to the conditions of approval, and the only problem I have is the requirement for conditions be met within certain time periods, like a well permit within 120 days and approval of the special use within 90 days. I don't see the purpose. I know where it comes from. I understand the theory. I don't see the purpose to it, frankly. I don't think if the applicant has a particular problem with it, I'm going to have a big problem with it, but it doesn't make any sense to do that. Obviously, anybody who's in a position that has to have these conditions met before they can continue their business is going to do everything they can do to get them done. And all you do is create another problem when it's one day after the condition.
I concur with that, and my concern about it is with the state, because from my experience, the state can take a lot longer than what they originally say.
Is there any way to address these with your conditions?
I know on the state one, that's where we added that condition for the director to make those extensions at his level, based on if we have that application to the state and the state responds that if we know that that application's been submitted, that is the good faith that they're doing. What it does prevent is somebody waiting that 120 days without even submitting to the state and following up on anything from the state. So that's why we added that extra in there. The 90 days, I definitely understand that one. As I stated, though, it's that one's ready to go to the director as soon as I get an approval from you guys. So that one won't go 90 days because I don't want it to sit on my desk for that long.
So basically what you're saying is it's going to be left up to the administration?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't know that we can change this anyway, can we, these dates?
Sure you can.
Yes.
Can we?
The county attorney's nodding at me.
Yeah, you can make those dates whatever you want. The reason why we drafted them the way we did is, one, the special use right now is administrative.
Yeah.
That process is typically 30 days-ish. As Gabe said, it's already ready to be signed. So I think that one's kind of a non-issue in the event that they chose to change something in their special use. Then it wouldn't be ready to be signed, and they would have to get that revision back to us. What you all need to understand is we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,100 code enforcement cases every year. A lot of times it's tracking things like this that are already in operation, and we want to make sure that they get to the finish line. And if we have, I'll say, a stick in the form of these dates, that's our cutoff day, right? And we know at that point we need to be pursuing enforcement because, frankly, we deal with people every day who are not motivated to get to the finish line because they feel like they've done enough and we'll just keep operating until somebody makes an issue out of it. With this, there's acknowledgement not only in a public setting, but also by virtue of your resolution that acknowledges that at that point, staff has the authority, pursuant to your decision, to pursue enforcement against the use. We're not talking about the structure at that point, we're talking about the use. You all don't necessarily address the use, you look at the dimensional standards associated with the use, in this case being a kennel. The special use, if it were to be elevated to a public hearing, would not come before this board. It would go before the Board of County Commissioners. With regard to the well permit, I added in that language when I reviewed the staff report because I am very well aware that the state sometimes is the problem. More often than not, they take a lot longer than we do. But if they're making good faith efforts toward obtaining that well permit, certainly I would recognize that as the director and realize that at that point, the timeline's out of their hands. But again, we want to see them make progress towards that because if they're not, they're operating a commercial business off of a exempt well. That is not a commercially permitted well. That is significant, or it could be significant.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Great explanation.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Mr. Hennigan, do you want to propose any changes to the comments?
Unless
conditions, I should say.
No, I'm willing to let it stand given the circumstance that has been described. These are essentially ready to go. I'm okay with that unless the applicant has some particular heartburn over it. It sounds like it's pretty much a non-issue at this point.
Are you folks okay with those time frames?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
The person I've been talking to with the state on the well has been very friendly and helpful, but I was warned that this could take 6 months. The angle that she says, you fill out these three forms, and because of my actual use of the water is so much less than I'm allotted for, it's her opinion that this should go right through, but you never know.
This is Mr. Carlson, but it says on these conditions that the director can extend that time frame if you've made the good faith effort to proceed. So I think that's what everybody's concerned with here with these dates is that the applicant gets the ball rolling within this kind of time frame and then...
I plan on calling her today and then setting a date to go up there and deliver the forms, pay the fee, and really get it rolling.
Okay.
I'm almost there.
Okay. I think as long as you're okay with these dates, it sounds like we are probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Any more discussion? Somebody like to make a motion?
Well,
Ms. Davies?
I move that the application by Dale Parker on behalf of Cal Hibbert for the request of a variance setback of 67 feet where 100 is required in item number BOA-17-005 of the agenda be approved using standard 3 of a unique criteria and equitable circumstances on page 4 of the staff report.
Ms. Davies has made a motion. Any second?
I second that.
Mr. Intermill has seconded the motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I may, just to clarify, that is with the four conditions as...
On page 4.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. We'll go to a vote. Mr. Intermill?
Yes.
Ms. Hannigan?
Aye.
Ms. Davies?
Aye.
Mr. Thurber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It carries as approved.
Okay.
Any other business today? Was there any other updates? I don't think you were in the room when we got to the updates. Do you have anything for us today?
I don't have any updates with regard to the activity that you all see. As Mr. Hannigan knows, I often like to do kind of a year-end presentation that kind of summarizes what happened last year. We don't have all the numbers in yet to do that. I do that typically with the Planning Commission, but if you'd like, whenever your next meeting is, which we never know when that could be.
Right.
It's one of four times a year, I think. But if you'd like, I'd be happy to provide you with that same presentation. It really just covers some of the activity that we're seeing from a development standpoint. It also covers some of the activity that we see in the region, both from the city and other municipalities as well. And what we look at is kind of historically where we've been and kind of where we think we're going. I can also cover some of the staffing changes that we've had. We are expanding our staff kind of gradually. If those of you that have been around for a while, pre-recession, excuse me, we had somewhere around 400 major development applications per year. We are back kind of in that same neighborhood. The difference is pre-recession, we had somewhere around 36 or 37 employees. Today we have 27.
Wow.
So we are doing the exact same work basically with two-thirds of the staff. So thus the need to hire additional staff. I mentioned earlier there were around 1,100 code enforcement cases. We are in the process of hiring yet another code enforcement officer. During the recession we had two. Once we hire this additional person we'll have four. With growth comes code enforcement files. It's just the nature of the business. We are also looking to hire another engineer. Right now we're down to two reviewing engineers to cover somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 major development applications per year. I'd have to tell you that is a extremely high workload for those engineers. Gilbert right there is a shell of him former self simply as a result of those numbers. So we're working on that. You know, it's really challenging from a development standpoint because really it takes about a year to train somebody to do what we do. Even if they've come from another jurisdiction where they did a similar job, procedures and even criteria are different when you come to the county versus city or somewhere else. So it takes about a year to train them. That basically means that I have to have a crystal ball of what development's going to look like in a year. And I think what I've seen is it's not going to slow down. I think it's going to continue at the pace it's going at. I think what you're seeing with the city is a lot of densification. I think there was an article in the Colorado Springs Business Journal recently titled Growing Up. The city's trying to go more dense in the urban core. But I don't pretend to think that all of the growth is going to go in the city. It's going to continue to occur in the county, which means we will continue to be busy.
Great. I think we would, okay, speak for everybody, probably like you to do that presentation next time.
I would love to do a year in review in July. I think that's probably what I'm going to have.
That would be great.
I'd be happy to do that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you're presenting it at another forum, maybe Tracy can send us an invite, and we can audience member it to save you.
Sure. Yeah, and we do, I mean, you're all familiar with Tracy's minutes. They're very extensive. We could also send you all the PowerPoint if you'd rather see it that way, and then or we can wait till whenever the next hearing is to do that. It's up to you all.
How would you like to do it? Any ideas?
Depending on the length of it. Is it a 15-minute presentation from you, or?
Usually it's 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. I think live would be best for me.
Yeah, let's do it here. That'd be great. Next meeting.
I could see all your smiling faces again.
Yeah, right.
that's worth the time alone.
Thank you very much. Any other business today? All right. This meeting of the Board of Adjustment is adjourned.